The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
For all his calls for President Biden to undergo some kind of cognitive test, it's clear to say Mr. Trump's remarks are not at all coherent in these rallies.
Mr. Trump's remarks have never been super coherent in his rallies. I'm not sure that I can weigh in on how much they have veered in the last couple of months, but this split screen has always been there. Will always be there. They are different people.
Maybe it's time to do an anatomy of a speech. I'm just thinking out loud here. But maybe it's time to take this speech that I was tipped off on Sunday that Fox hadn't aired it and he'd been particularly incoherent. It really is important for people to understand why Trump talks about every fourth day about his own, quote, acing of a screen meant to screen out and give families and individuals some information if they're worried about sort of the dementia category of diseases.
Yeah, he's older. That doesn't mean that he is unfit. In fact, if you actually listen to his speeches and you look at his record, he's been a very effective president. And there's a lot of ageism there. Then you bring out Donald Trump and you see, first of all, they're both old. Secondly,
I think they're separated by like 33 months.
Right. And one of them is unfit.
Right.
And so I think that distinction has not been made.
There's your hot new take for the day. Donald Trump has dementia and Joe Biden, I guess he's sharp as a tack. He's never been better. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on this beautiful morning here in central Oklahoma anyway. You can get to the live video stream of this show every weekday morning at 11.05 a.m. in the central time zone of the United States. Just go to trumpetdaily.com or the Rumble channel, rumble.com/trumpetdaily. It's just amazing. I mean, it happens every day. But to see the regime media praise this administration, deny the truth, praise Joe Biden, the fake president, no matter what. I mean, he can do no wrong. And then, of course, Donald Trump, he can do no right. He has dementia, and then the fake president that's in there at the moment. Everything is just perfect. Haven't we heard this before? And yet, at the same time, with respect to Donald Trump, he's incoherent. I guess they're kind of building off of the fact that Trump talked about sharks in one of his speeches. So it was incoherent, and you have to wonder if dementia is setting in. And yet, he's an evil genius at the same time. I mean, he's working to take over the United States. He has the entire Republican caucus in Congress under his evil spell. It's as if he's brainwashed all of them. They're just mesmerized by all things Trump. This is the Morning Meltdown. Talking today about Trump's visit to Congress, clip 9.
Donald Trump expects Republicans in any position of power, whether you're the House Speaker, whether you're a Senate Republican, to act as his legal and political shield. That is why Donald Trump is going to the Hill today. He can say, his campaign aides can say they're going to talk about his legislative agenda. We already see what that looks like with these endless investigations to nowhere that have been led by House Republicans into the Biden family, into Merrick Garland. I mean, this is where this is going. This is how he wants the party to act as his shield. That is the reason Paul Ryan isn't there anymore. And, you know, also, it's good that there are other Senate Republicans who won't take that meeting, but they're saying, oh, it's a scheduling conflict. Why don't you come out and say, I am not going to meet with someone who is practically and morally responsible, in the words of Senate, Mitch McConnell, for sending a mob to the Capitol and stopping the peaceful transfer of power. I mean, we need to start saying it very plainly, very clearly, in ways that are unmistakable, because there is a faction of Republicans who are not going to go along with this.
He's leading the charge against the Capitol. He's hypnotized all the Republicans, and yet he has dementia. I guess we're supposed to believe. She does touch on the fact that the investigations brought on by House Republicans, and there are a lot of them, and what did she say exactly? Investigations to nowhere? In a lot of ways, she's right. Where are the impeachment proceedings? Yesterday, the House voted to hold Merrick Garland in contempt for not... It was a close vote, by the way. I think it was 208 to 207. They hold Garland in contempt for not revealing the Biden audio tapes, that investigation, Robert Hur, remember that? And he basically came out and said that, you know, Biden's guilty on the documents thing, but, you know, he's old and he's senile, basically. Didn't use the word senile, but that's what the Hur report revealed. And here they sat down, they had this long interview with Joe Biden, and if he's as sharp as a tack, why wouldn't Garland want to reveal it to the whole world? It shows the level of will worship that goes on here. You know, the regime media, the ones that won't show 1 minute of a Donald Trump rally, they won't show any of it. Why? If he's losing it, if he's incoherent, if he's got dementia, then let everyone, you hate him, it's obvious you hate him, let everyone in the world see it then. It would prove their point. It would make their case. But no, they don't show Trump. They don't want the Biden tapes revealed. All that they want is for you to believe what they say. Will worship. You just take it from us. Trump's got dementia. Trump's a babbling fool. He's incoherent. And Biden, he's the most successful president in history. Just take our word for it. The Washington Post, by the way, sent me out an email today offering me a special deal, $1 per week. I can get a year subscription to the Washington Post, the post that the CEO of told its journalists, nobody's reading your stuff. I can't sugarcoat this. Nobody will read it. I wonder why. The New York Times, there was an article this week that I mentioned yesterday. It took a year and a half before the Times finally came out and admitted that the Hunter laptop was real. But I may have to backtrack on that admission, if you can even call it that. Based on the latest, the Times still will not admit that the laptop is really and truly Hunter's. How embarrassing. The New York Post says here, facts are stubborn things, John Adams said, but not as stubborn as the New York Times. Despite federal prosecutors, investigative journalists, and forensic analysts all confirming that Hunter Biden's laptop is the genuine article, the gray lady remains desperate to tear it down. And it refers to a piece from yesterday. Hunter Biden's laptop revealed by the New York Post comes back to haunt him. Yeah, it came back to haunt him because they finally got Hunter on something. You know, the gun charges, lying on a federal form. It says after the headline, so far so good. Then we get to the subhead, which echoes language in Katie Robertson's dispatch. Many claims about the laptop's contents have not been proved. Many claims, but it played a role in the prosecution of Mr. Biden over a firearm purchase. And then the Post says, many claims? What are you talking about? which claims about the laptop have been proven wrong? Are there any? And yet here's the gray lady, the newspaper of record. People aren't reading the New York Times, except for the elites. I mean, the Scarborough people, they read it every morning religiously. That's like the Bible to them. But no one else is paying attention. Here's the gray lady saying that many claims about the laptop have not been proven. The New York Times, or sorry, the Post, I better get that right, says after years breathlessly reporting innuendo and the activities of minor charlatans as a great Russian conspiracy, for which it shockingly won a Pulitzer. The Times has moved the goalposts. It's not enough. Listen to this. This is excellent. It's not enough if, as multiple sources now confirm, Joe Biden dropped by a dinner where Hunter was entertaining clients. It's not enough for Hunter to threaten a Chinese official, as happened, saying, "I'm sitting here with my father, and he'll be disappointed if I don't get paid." The appearance of impropriety is not enough. It doesn't matter what the facts reveal. Just listen to us. Joe Biden, he didn't have anything to do with Hunter's operation or work as he was pulling in millions from all over the world. Just take our word for it. Will worship. There it is again. Study Colossians 2. Study our Colossians booklet, because you put Colossians 2 together with Ephesians 2:2 and other verses we cite so often on this show, 2 Corinthians 4:4, Revelation 12:9. There is a real spirit world. The demonic influence on this world, it's powerful. It's powerful, and that's why the Bible admonishes true Christians to submit to God, to draw near to God, and to resist the devil. We've got to resist him, and we've got to be close to God, or else we will succumb to the devil's influence, the devil's lead. And so many are. Will worship. These are the people that have been telling us for 3 years that everything at the southern border was perfect. It's only been in the last couple of months that the evidence is so overwhelming that they've finally come out and said, I think that the successful plan you put in place 3.5 years ago, it's not very successful. Something like 10 million illegals coming in on your watch. These are the kind of reports now that you see daily, but it's three years late in a lot of cases. Listen to clip one.
Tonight, new evidence migrants who cross the border illegally are still being released into the U.S. by border agents, 1 week after President Biden signed an executive action suspending their entry.
If they choose to come without permission and against the law, they'll be restricted from receiving asylum and staying in the United States.
But NBC News has learned Border Patrol is still releasing many migrants into the U.S. who crossed illegally to pursue asylum claims. A senior DHS official tells NBC News those releases have dropped by more than half, but are still happening because agents don't have enough space to detain the large numbers of arriving migrants. An internal memo to Border Patrol agents in San Diego directs agents there to release migrants into the United States unless they are from these 8 countries. Overall, illegal border crossings under the new policy are still high.
A group of ISIS-linked terrorist suspects were just arrested in 3 of America's biggest cities after walking right into our country across our southern border.
Not only did those 8 terrorist suspects enter the United States illegally through the southern border, they apparently received, quote, full vetting, according to our own Bill Malusian. The suspects are from Tajikistan, the landlocked country in Central Asia. It borders Afghanistan to the south and China to the east. Recall the main suspect in the terrorist attack on the concert hall in Moscow that killed 145 people back in March were also from Tajikistan. The FBI and DHS said in a statement to Fox, quote, "The individuals arrested are detained in ICE custody pending removal proceedings. As the FBI and DHS have recently described in public and partner bulletins, the U.S. has been in a heightened threat environment. The FBI and DHS will continue working around the clock with our partners to identify, investigate, and disrupt potential threats to national security. The suspected terrorists were arrested in Los Angeles and across the country in New York and Philadelphia in recent days. According to the New York Post, who broke the story, quote, part of the investigation featured a wiretap which revealed one of the now arrested individuals was talking about bombs.
The reporting is that there were background checks done when they came across the border, that they're from Tajikistan, which is a country listed as a country of particular concern in terms of terrorism with the State Department. Is there an issue with our background check system? Again, How do they slip through the cracks like that?
Sometimes there's just no information on individuals. I mean, it's quite common where there's just nothing. You know, you don't have anything. It's no criminal convictions. There's no threat information or whatever on these individuals. Or maybe these individuals are from an area that are particularly of concern, but that pops up later when you get information later on.
In a rare encounter, we meet a Border Patrol agent eager to vent. He asks us to mask his identity, worried he'll be fired for talking so openly.
Well, we've got busy traffic here at the border. We didn't have to babysit.
Does it frustrate you when you hear that, when you hear the narrative? Like, why aren't Border Patrol doing anything? And
our hands are tied. If I don't allow them to cross, and they call and complain, now I'm in trouble. I'm going to lose my job.
That last bit there is from CNN. Took them 3 years to get down to the border. And they're asking border agents, are you a little bit upset by what's happening here? And the guy says, I've got to let him through or I'll lose my job if I don't. Inviting in the third world, as we were saying earlier this week. Making Venezuelan gangs great again. That's the new slogan for the communist left. Just invite in ISIS. Along with 10 million, at least, that we know of, 10 million others. And how comforting to hear another. I think that guy was the acting ICE director. And he's saying, we don't have information on certain individuals. That's quite common. Boy, they're digging up so much information on Trump supporters. They've gone after some 400 Republicans. As I covered on yesterday's show, politicians, attorneys, putting them in jail if they can. Steve Bannon, Navarro, Manafort, Cohen. Well, Cohen deserved it. One of the few. But look at what they're doing. Look at the information they're digging up. In some cases, it's 4 years on. 2, 3, 4 years on from January 6th. And they're still scouring social media to find someone that might have gone into the Capitol on January 6th so they can try him, so that they can indict him, so that they can send him to the gulag, so that they can make them a political prisoner. Meanwhile, ISIS from, what did he say, Tajikistan? That's not even in Central or South America. They're coming from all over the world. They're invading America. Just ISIS alone and the Venezuelan gangs added to that is cause enough to close the border. Instead, what do you get? You get a big announcement from the fake president and then nothing happens, as the regime media is even acknowledging. This was at NBC, not about the alien invasion, but about the murder rates right across the country. Clip 10.
Murders are up double digits in L.A., Baton Rouge, Kansas City, Orlando, Wichita, and Colorado Springs. In Pompano Beach, Florida, police and federal agents just wrapped up a six-week sweep targeting guns and drugs, arresting 132 suspects and confiscating dozens of weapons.
Murder rates up double digits right across the country. Here again, that's at NBC. And yet what are most in the media just obsessed with? Well, you've got to get Trump. You've got to get those conservatives on the Supreme Court. You've got to get Clarence Thomas. Or more recently, they're really going after Justice Alito. Because, well, he's conservative. He's dangerous. He wrote that opinion on Roe v. Wade a while back. So he's got to be attacked. And they're certainly lining up to attack him. Listen to this from MSNBC, clip 6.
Even as Donald Trump refuses to give straight answers about where he stands on things like a national abortion ban or contraception, conservative Christian groups understand what Trump will do for them. I mean, it's not that much of a mystery. And part of their confidence here that an extreme Christian nationalist agenda is very much within their grasp, part of their confidence is because these groups don't have to rely on just Trump alone. They can count on Trump's most powerful ally in the fight for Christian dominion, the conservative majority on the United States Supreme Court. Just this week, we heard Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito tell a progressive activist that he believes we need to return America to a place of godliness. As Elizabeth Dias and Lisa Lara write in a new analysis for the New York Times, while Justice Alito is hardly openly championing these views, he is embracing language and symbolism that line up with a much broader movement, pushing back against the declining power of Christianity as a majority religion in America. The movement's rise has been evident across the country since Mr. Trump lost re-election in 2020.
She's quoting from the New York Times, which you can also probably get for $1 per week. That Times piece. It's a phrase not commonly, listen to the language here. This is the opening paragraph. It's a phrase not commonly associated with legal doctrine, returning America to a, quote, place of godliness. And yet when asked by a woman posing as a Catholic conservative, she was just posing. She's not really a Catholic. She's not really a Catholic conservative. She's faking. It says, Justice Samuel Alito appeared to endorse the idea. He just appeared to endorse it. I guess he didn't even say it. And yet you see there, it took two journalists, two people working on this story, a question that someone posing as a Catholic conservative gave to Sam Alito. And evidently, Alito, he answered it in a way where I think he kind of agreed. Yeah. I wonder if this was on the front page. One of our alert viewers needs to find that out for us. I think it was posted yesterday online. The unguarded moment added to calls for greater scrutiny by Democrats, many of whom are eager to open official investigations into outside influence at the Supreme Court. Oh, yeah, the Democrats are wide open to this. Investigate the enemy. And put him in jail if you can. At least 400 Republicans that have been made targets of lawfare. Others whose lives practically have been ruined. See Rudy Giuliani. And then so many others that just, they surrender to the mob. They surrender to these lunatics. And in some ways, I mean, you can see, if they go after Giuliani the way that they did, you can see why Jenna Ellis, who helped Giuliani back in 2020 to reveal the fraud, you can see why she turned into a never-Trumper. Since that time, they're coming under fire from Democrats who are wide open to opening up official investigations into the Supreme Court, into those influencing the court. Oh, yes. It says the core of the idea expressed to Alito. Again, he didn't even say it. That the country must fight the decline of Christianity in public life goes beyond the questions of bias and influence at the nation's highest court. An array of conservatives, including anti-abortion activists, church leaders, and conservative state legislators, has openly embraced the idea that American democracy needs to be grounded in Christian values. Well, there's quite a few founders that believe that, that believe we should use the Bible as our moral guide. That we needed morality and religion in order for the American experiment to survive or to succeed. But these, I mean, these Marxist radicals, they hate that concept. They hate the founding documents, the founders. They hate traditional family. They hate Alito. They hate his wife. I'll get to that in just a second. He says they are right-wing Catholics and evangelicals who oppose abortion, same-sex marriage, transgender rights, and what they see as the dominance of liberal views in school curriculums, and they've become a crucial segment of former President Donald Trump's political coalition. I'm surprised it took them this long to work Donald Trump into this story. Oh, yes, he's right at the heart of it. He's at the heart of everything with these people. They probably cannot write an article at the Gray Lady without inserting Donald Trump somehow, some way. The movement's rise has been, think about this. I mean, there is some truth to this. Given what it says in Amos 7 about the kingdom's court, about the alliance that Donald Trump has with the evangelical movement. I mean, we've talked about that really from the beginning, going back to 2017, his first term. The movement's rise has been evident across the country since Trump lost re-election in 2020. You see, when he lost in 2020, look at what's happened since. And I mean, this is very, very scary. This is scary, and it's got to be exposed. And you've got to know this extreme Christian nationalist agenda. I mean, we know all about that. We know all about their supporters. We don't know who's coming across the border, but that's okay. It's common. It's common for people to just stream into the country coming from Tajikistan or wherever in the Middle East or beyond, China even. And we don't know a thing about them. But we invite them in nonetheless. And we tell our border agents, if you don't let them in, then you're going to lose your job. Got it? It says, now Supreme Court justices have become caught up in the debate over whether America is a Christian nation. While Alito is hardly openly championing, you heard this in the MSNBC report, he's not openly championing these views. He is embracing language and symbolism that line up with a much broader movement, pushing back against the declining power of Christianity as a majority religion in America. He's embracing language and ideas, symbols, and it's dangerous. It says here, a flag associated with support for more Christian-minded government was also flown at Alito's beach home. Can you believe this? A flag showing, there's flags showing support for LGBTQ all across the nation for an entire month. But don't dare, do not wave a flag that celebrates Christianity. Okay. Listen to this. It says, at the same event last week where Alito spoke in support of godliness, his wife, got to go after her as well. Same thing they do with Justice Thomas. Go after his wife. Yeah, go after those. Go after the family men at the Supreme Court. Okay. It says his wife said she wanted to fly a Sacred Heart of Jesus flag to push back against a neighborhood pride flag, according to more secretly recorded comments. That some woman secretly recorded her comments with Mrs. Alito, and that found its way to the New York Times. I mean, we're living under tyranny. You either support the regime or you are a target. They'll open up an investigation. They'll hurl indictments at you. They'll try to destroy your financial wealth if they can. And they'll put you in prison. It says here, Alito, his wife said, asked her to refrain from putting it up after the recent flag controversy. So this is big news at the New York Times. It's big news within the regime media as well. Listen to this exchange with one of the talking heads and the Secretary of Transportation, I guess, the one that's supposed to be making Baltimore great again. This is Secretary Buttigieg, clip 5.
There was a secret recording made at a meeting where many Supreme Court justices and their spouses were. And Martha Ann Alito, the wife of Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito, was discussing how she feels about apparently a pride flag that was flown not far from her house. Listen.
I want a Sacred Heart of Jesus flag because I have to look across the lagoon at the pride flag for the next month.
Exactly.
And he's like, oh, please don't put up a flag. I said, I won't do it because I'm deferring to you. But when you are free of this nonsense, I'm putting it up and I'm going to send them a message every day.
How does that make you feel knowing that the wife of a Supreme Court justice wants to send a message to people with a pride flag?
Look, I'm often reminded
that the most important thing in my life, which is my marriage and my family and the two beautiful children that, that my husband Chasten and I are raising, that, that that marriage only exists by the grace of a single vote on the United States Supreme Court that expanded our rights and freedoms back in 2015 and made it possible for somebody like me to get married. I also hope that most Americans can understand the difference between a flag that symbolizes, you know, love and acceptance and signals to people who have sometimes feared for their safety that they're going to be okay, and insurrectionist symbology.
So you've got the flag that represents love. Well, first of all, here's CNN running to the most prominent homosexual they can find in government to say, how does that make you feel? The fact that she would fly this flag that, that evidently it represents insurrectionists. He used the word symbology as well. It's got to be serious. Fly the rainbow flag, no problem. And then come out and attack Christians, the elitos, conservative ideology, the traditional family, all of it. They hate it. It's like that article I gave to you yesterday. I mean, they want to trash everything. They destroy everything. And most especially the family, because they know, just like Herbert Armstrong knew and taught us, that the foundation of any strong and stable society is the traditional family. And the Marxist movement, they know they can't destroy the government. They can't overturn everything without destroying the family unit. I mean, my father, I think the Conspiracy Against Fatherhood booklet, you can get to that at our website as well, thetrumpet.com, but that came out, what was it, in 2000? There's a conspiracy against fatherhood, against marriage, against family, against having children. I covered that with you yesterday. Having babies. How much longer would this society last? Even if you left aside all the prophecies we know about Christ's return and the tribulation and the day of the Lord before that. This New York Times piece, it says, Trump, for his part, has long courted conservative Christians, tapping into their sense of rejection in a steadily secularizing society. It says in 2016, he made what became a famous campaign promise that if he were elected, Christianity would have power. Christianity will have power. That's evidently something he said. And this, of course, again, it terrifies the Marxist radicals. Here's MSNBC from last night, clip 7.
During Donald Trump's rise and presidency, Alito really let his Christian nationalist flag fly and began to embrace not only the rhetoric, but also the substance of this far-right Christian supremacy and this idea that Christianity is rooted in the Constitution, that we are a Christian nation, and that courts have some kind of obligation to protect and indeed elevate Christianity above not just other religions, but above secular society. And he went on a little bit of a talking tour earlier this decade where he decried the new moral code of secularism that promoted reproductive freedom and LGBTQ equality and said that it was an existential threat to Christianity.
Far right Christian supremacy. And he went on a tour and he actually expressed some of his views. Can you believe that? The contempt that these people have for religion, for the Bible, for conservatism. They don't exactly try to conceal it, as you can see there. Listen to this one from MSNBC, clip 8.
They made this deal with Donald Trump. He promised them in 2016 in Iowa, Christianity will have power, and conservative Christians jumped on the Trump train, and it ended up being a bullet train for them. They got these three justices on the Supreme Court, and the deal was set. And now they've been with him for 8 years, and it doesn't, for conservative Christians, they're with him.
That's Lisa Lehrer. She's at the New York Times. She's one of the journalists, one of two, that wrote the article. You see how it works in the regime media. The New York Times and the Washington Post, they determine the talking points for the day. and MSNBC, Morning Meltdown, they all run with it. Rachel Maddow, if you're watching in the evening. And then these journalists that write the articles, then they go, it's a relatively small echo chamber. And it's just in your face. They crank up the volume every day. The same talking points, the same agenda, even as I said earlier this week, even as the nation goes up in flames. Just coming back, though, to this alliance, which is real, between Donald Trump and the evangelicals. My father, he does talk some about this, or writes about this, in America Under Attack. Here's a quote. It says, Mr. Trump also has a strong relationship with religious leaders and has strongly defended religious groups. He speaks publicly about how good and strong and even righteous America is, although the truth is that America today is none of those things. This movement, this alliance, it's not going to solve the problems of this nation. It makes me think of that verse that was quoted often by Mike Pence and so many others in the first term of Trump's presidency. I think it's 2 Chronicles 7, where it talks about God having mercy on the land and the people, but they always left out turning our hearts to him, turning to him in repentance. That's a message that is lost in the religious movement, in that alliance between Jeroboam and the religion of Jeroboam. It says here, he inspired confidence in a lot of people about this nation's future. This was all a modern-day fulfillment of what happened in ancient Israel under Jeroboam II. A bit of a resurgence, some renewed prosperity, a swell of religious activity, but not the true religion of the Bible. Not the true religion of the Bible. You see, like Herbert Armstrong always used to say, don't believe me. Look into the Bible yourself. See what the Bible says. I was just reading a quote from the Chronicles booklet this morning where it talked about the bridge. I mean, if you want to get in the chronology, the end of the Old Testament is actually 2 Chronicles. And as my father says in that booklet, the bridge between the Old Testament and the New. I mean, you see it in Matthew 1 and verse 1. Where it refers to the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet look at how many people in the world of religion, they just want to separate those two testaments, the old and the new, and say that, well, one's the religion of the Jews and one's the religion of Christianity. What about the religion of the Bible? Let's talk about that for a moment. What about the Bible and what it says regarding pick any subject. What about homosexuality or transgenderism? What does the Bible have to say? You see, when you see those clips and the contempt that's just oozing from the pores of these people, you see what it is that they hate the most. They hate the authoritative Word of God. They hate the Scriptures. Jesus said God's Word is truth. And people don't love truth. They hate it. They cast it to the ground, as you hear so often on this program. They bury it. They want to blot it out. They want to stamp out even the name of Israel, as you've heard on this show so many times. But on the religious side, I mean, there is no talk about law or repentance, submitting to God's law, or turning to God in humble repentance. There's just a lot of every man doing what seems right in his own eyes. Mr. Armstrong used to say about the Bible, the reason there's so much disagreement over what is in this book is because people won't submit to it. And so we don't agree upon it. Herbert Armstrong would say, let the Bible interpret itself. But so many in the world of traditional Christianity, they want to interpret it themselves. They want to read into it what it says. You'll hear it even in the radical left circle. You'll hear Joe Scarborough wax eloquent about religion and what Jesus would think. You can look at what Jesus thinks and believes. If you're just willing to turn to the Gospels or any of the other books which are inspired by God, that's in 2 Timothy. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, Paul said to Timothy. And we, says it in the same book, we've got to be good workmen when it comes to our spiritual studies, when it comes to our Bible study, our prayer, etc., because we've got to get to know God. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. It says here, the way this is written, he's talking about Amos 7. Again, this is a quote from America Under Attack. If you don't have a copy of this book, we offer it freely, without cost or obligation. Just call the 800 number, 1-866-930-3024. And in commenting on Amos 7, my father says, the way this is written, this individual, Amaziah, is speaking on behalf of King Jeroboam, who has the support of the king's chapel. The king's chapel. So he has the support of the chapel and then also the kingdom's court as well. All of that is in Amos chapter 7. This is, again, this is something that we've been right on top of. I mean, on the one hand, you do see this movement gaining in the polls and gaining popularity. And you do see a bit of a resurgence in religion, more so than there would have been, you know, 5-10 years ago. And the New York Times and others, I mean, they're on to it. They see it, of course, as a scary, scary, scary development. Our message is more about how that this is not going to solve the problems of America. Ultimately, it won't, because there's no message of repentance, of turning our hearts to God in repentance. That said, I mean, politically, there's going to be a temporary resurgence, and politically, there's going to be, you know, some popular support. You look at some of the recent polls. Donald Trump's leading in Wisconsin, Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, and Nevada as well. Look at the lead there. That's from Real Clear, I believe. Pennsylvania, well, there's another one here that just goes through some of the numbers on that, and you can see that on the screen for yourself. Just a couple of final things that I can leave you with. For one, just I bring up America Under Attack. We also have the U.S. and Britain in Prophecy. It's not up here at the moment. But that's like the overarching view of world events in Bible prophecy, particularly paying attention to, as you can see on the title there, America and Britain. And Leviticus 26, Deuteronomy 28, those chapters that talk about the blessings and the cursings, and how that if we don't obey God, we're going to be cursed. And then this is, I mean, the proof, really. You don't need me to stand here and tell you that curses are setting in. Look around. Look at the division. Look at the invasion. Look at the ruined economy. Look at the wasteful spending in D.C. Look at the corruption all through the nation's capital of all places. That's all discussed in the United States and Britain in Prophecy. If you don't have that book, that's the central plank of Bible prophecy, or at least the book that will help for you to understand a third of your Bible, which is prophecy. That Leviticus 26 chapter, Deuteronomy 28, the blessings and cursings chapter. This is verse 15 of Deuteronomy 28. It says, but it shall come to pass, if you will not hearken unto the voice of the Eternal your God, to observe, to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you this day, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Think about that word, overtake. Think about being overtaken by curses, because there's so much disobedience in the land. There's a paper, one of our news gatherers noted this morning, there's a paper from this think tank in Canada called Disruptions on the Horizon. It analyzes 35 potential crises that could face Canada, you know, and some are kind of off the wall with climate change and that sort of thing. Some others are, you know, it's real. Some of these crises are coming, as Mr. Armstrong brought out in the U.S. and Britain in Prophecy. It's interesting. Trudeau, I think he relies on this think tank for quite a few of his views. But he's of the opinion, or this group is of the opinion, that the United States could end up in a civil war. And again, some of this is politically driven. Well, there is a civil war coming, so we'll just leave that there. But some of this is politically driven because Trudeau, like so many of the communists in the United States, they want everything to be about Trump. Trump's the cause. He's the cause of the coming civil war. And I'm here to save you, save Canada, in the case of Trudeau, from Trumpism. That's not surprising, that particular message. But underlying the disruptions on the horizon is the fact that they're all fixable. We can do it. We can solve the problems of this nation or Canada or any of the Western nations. And of course, God thunders in response. No, you can't. There is no hope in man. Look at Jeremiah 17. Read the whole chapter. It says here in Politico, it's writing on this paper, disruptions on the horizon. When Justin Trudeau meets Joe Biden at the G7 summit in Italy this week, Trudeau will probably not ask whether the United States is at risk of erupting in civil war in the next 5 years. It says, in a spring report titled Disruptions on the Horizon, a quiet office known as Policy Horizons Canada proposed American civil war as a scenario that Ottawa should consider preparing for. American civil war ranked as an improbable but ultra-high impact event. It probably won't happen, but look, we've got to start talking about it. And you know, there's voices here in the United States that are speaking the same way, saying that we're headed to civil war. I mean, the division, it's so deep. It's so contentious. How does this play out? What will be the result? That's something, it's a sobering reality, but it is something that you want to give some thought to in your Bible study, in your meditations, before you get caught up in the momentum of the movement, the resurgence. This is from Sundance over at Conservative Treehouse. He said, when President Obama famously told incoming President Trump the largest foreign policy concern was the potential for near-term military conflict with North Korea, Trump curiously asked Obama, well, have you talked to Kim Jong-un? Have you tried to resolve this, in other words? President Trump has never revealed how Obama responded to that question. However, given the nature of the circumstances, what we know about D.C. and the background involved, we can assume that Obama's reply was akin to the Lightbringer telling Trump, things just are not done that way. It says, we know what happened next. President Trump engaged directly with Chairman Kim, met with him several times, and even crossed into the demilitarized zone as a physical expression of a new approach. Well, he had a new approach for Middle East peace, the Abraham Accords, moving the embassy to Jerusalem. All of those acts can be applauded, can be praised for sure. But here again, just like with this paper, the disruptions on the horizon, or Sundance's conclusion, in this particular post, you see it there in the title. It's all fixable. Is it? Is all of it fixable? What we're seeing in the United States, the economy, the invasion, the crime in our cities, the deviant lifestyles that are celebrated a month out of the year, even longer in some cases. Is it fixable? Well, we're not here to leave you with a depressing conclusion, but we want to give you the hope that is in the Bible, the hope of the resurrection, the hope of Jesus Christ's return to this earth. This is why Christ, again, if you look into the Gospels, said that we need, especially in these times, we need to lift up our eyes. We need to set our minds on the things above, on God's kingdom, on God's nation, on God's name, on God's law, on God's word, the Holy Bible. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Well, I've thrown a lot of literature at you today. America Under Attack, U.S. and Britain in Prophecy. I mentioned the Conspiracy Against Fatherhood book, the Chronicles booklet. All of that is available at our website, thetrumpet.com. You can also call the 800 number there and request any and all literature at no cost or obligation. I haven't mentioned The Trumpet, by the way, but you can subscribe to The Trumpet magazine. Ready for war. You can subscribe to this. 1 year, no cost, no obligation. Just call 1-866-930-3024. I've got a couple minutes, and I've got a couple of emails, although they're on my Word document, not on my printout. This one here says, "Hi, I live in Los Angeles. I watch the Trumpet Daily Show regularly. I just had to email you because I'm watching Channel 13 and just saw a commercial advertising Celtic Throne. This is the first I am seeing it advertised on TV. I think we just started with an advertising blitz in the Southwest, and ticket sales have seen a spike upward just in the last few days because of what this viewer brings out. Another one here says, just heard you mention about the 51 intelligence agents who said Hunter's laptop was a fake Russia effort, and by them lying, they affected the 2020 election. It says, please make this comparison that they say Trump paying $120,000 to Daniels as hush money for political or personal reasons, which is not illegal, and Trump gets a felony conviction, but the 51 intel people who lied and signed that letter that influenced the election without any doubt, why aren't they arrested and taken to court to be convicted felons, or the convicted felons that they are? That says, please mention this on your show in your own superlative words. Wow. I mentioned it just now. I'm not sure if my words were superlative, but I'll carry on to one final email here. It says, I'm writing to say thank you for the wonderful performance of Celtic Throne in Sarasota a while back. Last year, my husband and I drove from Michigan to see the show in Louisville. He treated me to it and a long weekend there, and that performance was spectacular as well. We were already planning to be in Florida this week with family, and I heard you would be in Florida and was delighted to see you there as well. I was blessed to be able to bring my 9-year-old daughter to the show. She really enjoyed it, especially seeing all the younger kids in the show. And it says here, finally, I've been working on an email to send to you for some time. I came across The Trumpet in February of 2023 and have been learning so much. I appreciate and enjoy your many podcasts. If you'd like to submit some feedback to the show, you can reach us at td@thetrumpet.com. I've given you the 800 number for the literature and the information you need. You can also go to that Rumble channel, leave us a comment underneath the video, or join in if you watch it live on the live discussion. That's all we have time for on today's show, the fastest moving hour in broadcasting. In the case of this show, an hour without a commercial break, just continuous. 54 minutes. The fastest 54 minutes in broadcasting. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you again tomorrow.